Great job. Good singing. Good singing this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, it's cold outside, it's warm inside, and we thank you for your love and grace that's here with us. And we pray now that you'll speak to each one of us through the music, through the message, through the fellowship, through the friendship that we feel right here, the family that we worship together with. Lord, we thank you for that. Speak to us now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, Calvary. Good morning, Crossroads. Good morning, church. It's good to see you here today. Thank you for being here with us. If this is your first time that you've been here, we are two churches worshiping together. It's working out pretty good so far. We're enjoying it, and God is blessing. So you have come to a very unique circumstance, and we pray that you will be uniquely blessed.
Good morning. Open your Bibles, if you would, if you haven't done so already, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 9. You know, it's pretty bad when a pastor works on a sermon that actually convicts him. So what I'm going to tell you this morning are not easily preached, because it brought me to my knees a couple of times thinking, God, I'm so sorry. But let me read this to you, and I'll get into a little bit more what I mean by that. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38 says this, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Let's pray. Jesus, I need your help this morning. I can't do this on my own. Lord, just challenge us today and help us to see your heart. And we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to preach to you a simple little message entitled, "What Moves the Heart of Jesus?" What moves the heart of Jesus? One of the things we love about the Gospels when we read through them is how the crowds are following Jesus. We love that part of the story, don't we? Because we know they're following the right person, right? But even through Jesus' popularity, there was still one underlying problem. And it's found in verse 36. His people were still scattered, and they were tired. But how was that possible? How is it possible these crowds who are following Jesus are still tired and they're scattered? Especially when he's performing miracles and he's preaching in their churches, he's reaching out to them. Well, for the most part, these people during this particular time, they had their own reasons for following Jesus. The Pharisees followed Jesus. Well, we know why. They were trying to trip him up. Others followed Jesus because they were in it waiting for him to wage war against Rome. This is the guy who's going to get us from out underneath Rome's power, will get our nation back. Then you had others who followed Jesus, well, because he's Jesus. As God's man, I'm going to follow him. But in the end, no one really understood his teachings. And they did not understand what he was about to do for them. Getting people to God is always at the heart of Jesus. Let me rephrase that. Getting sinners to God is always, always at the heart of Jesus. But even today, it seems like there's always something getting in the way of getting people to Jesus. And that one thing is called sin. Sin. Everyone suffers because of the effects of sin. We suffer of the sin of people hurting us. And then likewise, some people suffer from our sin hurting them. Sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's not. If you've ever dealt with FedEx, like I've had over the weekend, that's a sign of somebody sinning against me, and I'm sinning against them being irritated. People hurt me, I want to hurt them back. It's in our natural sinful tendency. But seriously, though, there are people who are really suffering. And when we suffer, our natural tendency is always, always to blame God. Some people want nothing to do with God. How can a loving God allow me to go through such a horrible experience in my life? I've had friends at school. I knew a girl who was abused by her dad sexually. I'm friends with a homosexual lady because her husband abused her. And people are wondering, where is God in all of this? But at the heart of it all, we have to understand we do not suffer because God has it out for us, but because it is the effects of sin in this world. Sin is very influential. And yes, there are people out there who will reject the gospel. But there are also others out there who don't understand God or Jesus or even the cross. Many out there have been hurt and abused to the point they don't think God even cares anything for them. Others will engage in very sinful and harmful behaviors to fill a void. And they feel like, well, God can't forgive me for this then because I'm just too far gone. I'm not like the other church member over there. I'm too far gone. And how can they know for sure that there is a loving God who cares for them if no one tells them? Then there are those within the church. They profess a faith in Jesus Christ. They struggle daily with temptations. They struggle with doubt. They struggle with fear. They struggle with just different things. And they come here Sunday after Sunday, suffering, wondering if anybody even knows. And that person could be sitting right next to you. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3:9 that it is never at the heart of God that people should ever perish, but that everyone comes to repentance. So whether you're here and you're saved today and you feel like you're an outcast or you're lonely, or maybe you've never come to a faith in Christ, you're battling this whole thing about God, one thing we can say for sure, and I'm quoting from Psalms 142, verse 4. Here's what the psalmist wrote. I look on my right and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you this morning, there are people in this world today who truly feel there's no one who cares for their soul. No one. And what they go through day after day and the suffering, the abuse that they go through from the effects of this sinful world, they feel like nobody cares about me. Many people feel that religion has even failed them. It was definitely true during Jesus' time. If you read Matthew 23, Jesus is letting these pastors have it. Religion had failed many people. It was true back then, and it's true today for a lot of people. It's an age-old issue. It's no wonder Jesus had so many people coming to him. No wonder. See, the Pharisees, and sometimes even today, we can be just as guilty. We can lay the law down on people. You need to do this, this, and this. If you're not happy, you need to get right with God. The truth is, we need to be very careful how we say things like that because we don't know everyone's situation. Sometimes we tell people you got to dress a certain way or look a certain way or behave a certain way before you come to God. That is never the heart of God. You can never expect a sinner to act like a saint if they don't have Jesus in their life. In Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 6, God is telling Ezekiel to tell his pastors pretty much the same thing. I have it on your outline. Verse 35, I think I put verse, I forgot what verse I put on yours. I'm going to just read what I have here. Then Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Wait a minute. I'm wrong here. Yep. Okay. I forgot to turn the page. Ezekiel 34:4. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, or sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wander through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. This is what God is telling his priest in the book of Ezekiel. God is speaking this over his own people. But what about those people today who know nothing about Jesus Christ? Who's reaching out to them? Or are we just going to sit back and let them be food for Satan? At the heart of it all, God sees people as lost and wandering sheep without a shepherd. Some people today, they still look for someone to lead them. And sometimes that place is in all the wrong places. Sometimes they may get caught up into an occult. And one of the things that many of the cults are really good about is they show compassion and care for you. And we get sucked in because at the heart of it all, we want somebody to care for us. And the wrong people can be caring for you. And people just get sucked into it. Well, we saw what happened last week in the White House. It's a sign that people are looking for a shepherd. And sometimes we look in all the wrong places. You see, we forget that God is over our leaders. I could go on and on about that point, but that's for another time. And we know, really, if what happened last week is a sign of the end times, we're making it really easy for the Antichrist when he comes, when the global economy crashes and food is very scarce, we're going to look for one person, not God, to lead us. People are looking for a shepherd, and I'm telling you, sometimes they look in the wrong places. And maybe our goal this morning is to help them find the right place to come to, find the right shepherd who can save them and lead them to have an eternal life with God the Father in heaven. But you know, within the church itself, we know that's our mission. But within the church itself, we have some problems that may be hindering it from reaching out to other people. They say, I don't know who they are, but they say, or so I'm told, that only 10% of the people in the church do all the work. You ever heard that before? Just 10% of the people do all the work in the church. Others will come to church if Jason plays good music. Others will come to church if there's a good Sunday school program, if there's a good children's church ministry, and if you don't have it, I'll look somewhere else. Entertain me. Give me what I want, what makes me happy. If not, I'll go somewhere else. I can hear a pin drop in this room. It's very scary in here right now. Others believe, and I kid you not, that's the pastor's job. See, some people believe they can just come to church. If I'm stepping on toes, please forgive me. I'll give my 10%. I'll sit and I'll listen. Give me a good message that makes me feel good about myself. And I'll go home. At the heart of it all, there are people who are scattered and they are wearied and they are dying and they are falling apart. Have we thought about them? You know what a quadriplegic is? Here's the thought. If the pastor's doing all the work and my only job is to come here and sit and listen, you have a quadriplegic church. And it's not going to be effective for the community. Look at verse number 37. As Jesus gazes on the tired and scattered crowds, he tells his disciples, there is a harvest of souls out there. And guys, that's the good news. There is a harvest out there that God is wanting to just reap. But the bad news is the laborers are so little. And because they're so little, you and I, we are encouraged to pray, God, send laborers into your field. I've worked construction for a lot of years. And you have your office people and you have your field people. Without the field people, the office people can't get any productivity done. You need each other. What is the will of God? What is the will of God here? Well, we know the will of God is that not one soul gets lost, right? That all come to repentance. And definitely that hurting believers find faith in God again. And I'm telling you, that person may be sitting right next to you. But because of shame and pride, maybe no one wants you to know about it. God needs laborers in his fields. God needs more than just your 10% on Sunday. He needs more than just your regular church attendance and a little check off the list. Look what I did today. I did my good deed. God's proud of me. I did what I was supposed to do. That's not what it's about. We're missing it if that's all we really think. That's a traditional way of thinking. God needs us to be spiritually ready to tell others about him should the time come you meet somebody who doesn't know. How many of you know how to lead people to Jesus Christ? If someone ever asked you, how do I get to God? How do I know for sure that I'm saved? How do I obtain eternal life? How many of us are equipped and ready to share the gospel with somebody who needs to hear it? And this message is not to lay guilt on anybody. Please don't misunderstand me. But the challenge for us is during these trying times to pray for God to send forth laborers into his fields. And I know what you're going to tell me, but Pastor, this is COVID season. These are the dangerous times. We shouldn't be meeting like this, and we shouldn't be staying in our homes. Some people are wondering, why did God bring COVID in the first place? Because it's torn the churches apart. It never had to. I want you to hear me out on this. COVID never had to tear any church apart. Didn't Jesus assure us? If two or more gather in his name, he's right there in the midst of us. What I'm telling you to be mission-minded in your homes. How many of you parents know that your kids were saved? How many of you grandparents know that your grandkids were saved? COVID doesn't have to stop anything. If anything, COVID can strengthen your home if we let it. If you're meeting in your homes, praise God. If you haven't started, if you're not going to church anywhere, if you're watching online right now, praise God. Encourage others. Hey, you know what? If you're not going to church, you have your family gather around the TV. And when it's over, talk to them. What are some needs here? How's your faith? How are you hanging on? Let's pray together. You won't have all the answers. That's okay. But it's a good place to start. Is in your home. What about the place where you work? Kevin said last week, and it's very true, we spend more time with non-believers than we do with believers. We spend more time at work than we do in our church. Do people in your work area know that you're a Christian? Do they know that you're saved? Do they know that you walk the walk and you talk the talk? And if there's ever a time they go through a bad time in their life, do they know they can come to you in confidence saying, will you pray for me? Because they know you walk with God. What moves the heart of Jesus is that we can reach out to people. People need a shepherd. I'm not saying everyone needs to become a pastor or Sunday school teacher. But sometimes, being a shepherd may just simply mean taking care of one person at a time. Maybe you have that one little lamb that God's put in your life to mentor that person for a while. Don't look at the big picture. Look at the little picture. Look at every little lamb. When Jesus turned around, he looked at the crowds. He saw people just moving about, just scattering. He could not get to every single individual. There were some that he did. He reached out to Nicodemus one-on-one. Mary and Martha, he had a good relationship with them. And Lazarus. And even Zacchaeus. These were people Jesus reached one-on-one, but he could not get to every single individual. And your pastor cannot get to every single individual. But you can. And so when Jesus looks at the crowds, and he's moved because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. And what I want you to think about is this. Pray what God wants you to do. Pray what part of the field God wants you to go into. And then maybe pray for that one little lamb. Just one. If it's not God's will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. God cares about every single individual, doesn't he? I don't care how many tattoos you judge them for having. I don't care how many body piercings you might judge them for having. It is not the will of God that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. You and I did, if we're saved, right? I came to a place where I said, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Now, my sins are more hidden. Others are more exposed. But we have no right to look down on anybody and say, God doesn't want you in his kingdom. Now, I don't think anybody would ever say that. But sometimes I think it's in actions we might show that. There are people, there's a room full of hurting people out there. But there are also some within these four walls that are hurting as well. And the challenge for you and for me this morning is, are we ready enough? Are we spiritually ready to take on the role of shepherding? Should the need ever come? Are we ready? Should that need ever arise? If this frightens you, and you have people in your homes who are lost, you have family members who are lost, it's a good time to pray, God, send people their way. If it's me, God, give me the words to say. God, help me. Show me. God can take your past. I don't care how dark it is. And win somebody else to others. You can say, look where I've been. Look what God got me through because of my faith in Jesus Christ. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. Don't be ashamed of where you came from. Be ashamed if you're still doing it. But don't be ashamed of where you came from. All of us are sinners. And you can use your story to reach others for Jesus Christ. And you might be coming across a Bible passage you don't understand. You know, you can always call your pastor, email your pastor, or a best friend. I can guarantee you, we don't get many calls during the week. Hey, I have a question about this verse. But that's what we're here for. If you have questions. On your outline, I want you to write down this. Just one thought. Just one thought. If there's a place you believe that God can use you in the church, where would he want you? Just a simple thought. The answers don't have to be exact. If there's one place where God can use you within the church, where do you think it might be? Is there a place, is there somebody at work you need to be praying for? Who might that person be? And as you think about where God could use you within the church, test it out. If it doesn't work, that's okay. Try something else. Test it out. But don't quit. Don't quit. There's a harvest out there. God needs laborers in his field. And I'm really bad about telling people I work a full-time job. I'm tired. I might get home. My day's not over yet. And I have to understand that. Even as a pastor, there are still people I need to be reaching out to. So when I say this message was not easy, I mean it with all my heart. So I want you to pray over that list, what you just wrote down. Say, God, is this where you really want me? Talk to Kevin, Jason. Talk to John. Talk to me. God, where do you want me? How can I reach out to your lambs? How do I be a blessing? And if I think like that, you know what's going to happen? Church isn't going to be all about me. It's not going to always be about what's in it for me kind of mentality. It's going to be about how can I help others get closer to Jesus Christ. That is what moves Jesus. Getting people closer to God has always been in his heart. And I don't want to be the church member that says, I'm in it for me. I want, unless you have this, this, and this, I'm not going to come. Say, God, where do you want me? Where can I serve? Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Jesus, Lord, give us a vision. Help us to know where you want us to be. Help us to know where you want us to serve you. Help us to know that those who are hurting and they're dying, they need encouragement, Lord. And I say this with a lot of conviction in my own heart. Help us, Lord, reach out to others and to see what really moved your heart as you looked on your sheep, not having a shepherd. We don't want our churches to be quadriplegic, Lord. The work of the ministry is more than just one person. It's the church. It's why you sent the disciples and you told them to go and preach the gospel to every creature. It's the job of all of us, Lord. Give us the wisdom. Give us the desire. Give us a heart of flesh and a heart of stone. And forgive us, Lord, if we've been complacent. Encourage us. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your forgiveness. We pray that your Holy Spirit give us strength now, Lord, to move forward in year 2021 in these questionable times, to pray over our nation, for people to find the right leader. And that right leader is you, because you work through our human leaders. And we love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Lord, take us now from this place, as we've heard today. May our hearts be moved by what moves your heart. May we see people the way you see people. May we reach out to people the way you reached out to people. And Lord, may we bring people into your kingdom. That's our prayer today, Lord. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen.